Yeah, y'all got me, don't you? The mic's on, right? Man. It's been a roller coaster the last couple of weeks. I'll be honest with you. I may break down up here, but that's how good God's been to me. I got a couple of things I'm going to talk about tonight and read on. And ask your forgiveness already, but there's going to be a lot of page turning going to go on tonight. As I sat here this morning, wondering just exactly what God would have me to bring, he said, son, them three messages you've got, he said, make them one. He said, we're going to sit right here, and we're going to make them one before you leave. So this afternoon, I've got a lot of page turning, but I ask you just to bear with me. I'm going to preach on a little subject tonight called Through the Fire. Through the Fire. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, before I get started, I'm going to meddle a little bit. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we started in my own walk. This has nothing to do with what I'm going to read and preach tonight. But we started experiencing a manager change at our workplace. And stress got to an all-time high. You know what I'm talking about. You have to go through it every day. That's what you do every day. It gets to being a burden to you, and it gets to being really aggravating. Well, we started going through that manager change, and if it wouldn't be for God placing me at Union Chapel, I'd have backslidden a lot further than what I did. I'm thankful that God gave me such godly friends and family, and I'm thankful that God put me at Union Chapel. Because one of them days, as I was having a bad day, I had my phone plugged into my radio, and I'll be honest with you, I hadn't even thought about reading my Bible for the day. Hadn't read it the last couple of days. Stress was getting to me, the world was getting to me, and I was having a fit. And God spoke through me through my radio. And I didn't even know that my phone was plugged into my USB. I didn't even know. The truck's old. I didn't even know the thing was going to pick up a USB port in a phone. I didn't know that radio could do that. And I just had it in there to charge because I always have to have my phone on me because everybody and their brother wants to call me like Rodney over here and find out what I got going on for the day. But I do the same with him. But I had that thing plugged up, and I had been starving, and I didn't know it. I'd been starving for a word from God, and I did not know it. And a song came on my radio, and it was called Through the Fire. And it's sung by Michael Crabb and the Crabb Family. And you talking about a song and a half. I can remember jamming to that song and going to Tupelo. Tanner Trillman would sing his heart out to that song. And you'd think it's an AC/DC concert that we was at because he'd be singing it that hard. And I did not know at the time that that's what God was going to give me. But this evening, I want to look at a couple of texts, and we'll go ahead and get started. The first text I'm going to read this evening is in 1 Kings, chapter number 18. And we're going to read 10 verses there. But as you're turning, I'll go ahead and lay out what we're going to look at today. See, throughout God's Word, we see times where His people are going to go through a fire. And tonight we're going to look at a couple of them. But just because we've seen it in His Word, folks, let me tell you that we will go through a fire in our walk every day. I've done lived it. The last couple of weeks I've lived it. And I can tell you, I promise you, that you're going to go through a fire. But as you turn there and you find your place, and once you get to 1 Kings chapter number 18, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Beginning in verse number 30, and the Bible says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as wood contained 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Let us pray. Father God, I come to you now, Father, just thankful for an opportunity to stand behind your desk and tell the people about what I've been going through. Father God, but it ain't all about what I've been through, but it's about what you and your son has endured for me so that I could stand behind this sacred desk this afternoon. Father God, I ask right now that the same God that breathed that fire down for Elijah shows up this afternoon. Father God, I pray that you just sweep through here and you just go ahead and put a fire down in Union Chapel and start us back this evening. Father God, I pray right now for the people that's in the pews. Father God, I pray that if they're going through a fire this afternoon, that they know that you can still control it. Father God, that you have never lost control and that you are still on the throne. Father God, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, fires are still going to rage in each and every one of our lives today. We've seen it here that Elijah, even though he called on a fire, there's still fires that people had to go through. The only reason why them people went through it in that text is because they done turned away from God. They done started believing in a false idol. You see, sometimes that may be where we're at. Sometimes I put deer hunting above God Almighty. I'll tell you right now, I'll be the first to tell you that just because I stand behind a pulpit does not mean that I am perfect. I'll tell you right now that just because I stand behind this pulpit that I do not mess up. That's a lie. I mess up all the time. I am made of flesh. A man is flesh, and he is not God, and there's only one that's perfect, and that is Jesus Christ. But you see, there's things that we will put above God, if we're being honest. You can sit there and say that you don't put anything above him. But me and you both know that we do. We do. But you see, this afternoon, I always get twisted up when I preach. I don't know. I can be preaching in the morning and say this afternoon, but if I'm in the evening, I'm going to say this morning every time. I don't know what's going on, but this afternoon I want to look at what comes out of the fire. Just what comes out of that fire that we may go through. You see, my first point that we done read on is a definitive answer. You see, this afternoon we see in 1 Kings chapter number 18 and then 10 verses I just read of 30 through 40, we see that Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal. We see that he tells them to call on their God. Tells them to call on their God, and he'll call on his, and we'll find out who's real and who's fake. You see, sometimes that's where we are. Sometimes God will confront us, and he'll say, I tell you what, Hagin, you take that deer hunting and you see if it saves your life. You see if it saves you from a devil's hell, and you let me know. You see, that's where I've been these last couple of weeks. And I don't know how I ever got there, but I know that I've been there. But I know that my Savior has arms, and he's standing there waiting for each and every one of us to always come back. He's like a old shepherd, you know. There used to be a commercial on these kids' cartoons. I don't know if y'all remember it. And someone would always go out on stage that wasn't supposed to, and they'd reach a hook out, and they'd yank him off the stage. You know what I'm talking about. That's how God is with us. Sometimes we'll rush our opportunity and rush what he has for us and do what we want to do instead of what he has us planned to do, and he'll reach out there and pull us back. But that's how God works. But this afternoon, I'm going to go ahead and get to looking at my points here. And we're going to see that the first thing that he shows us a definitive answer to is the forgetful. And that falls to me. I'm not even going to read out of any text here. I just want to tell you where I've been. See, I am very forgetful. If it doesn't involve something that I have my mind set to and something that I love, sometimes I forget it. I can remember everything else except for things that I have to remember. It seems like that's just what I do. And you see, that is how we are as people and how we are as Christians. We always forget exactly what God tells us to do until we've done it. And then that light will click and we'll say, uh-oh, we've messed up. Yes, God implements grace and mercy, and he died on a cross so that we could have it. But that doesn't mean trampling through it. If I heard B.J. Mills say that once or twice, I've heard him say it a million times. Just because you have his grace and his mercy, don't drag him through the mud. Do not drag him through the mud. In the last couple of weeks, that's where I've been. But you see, we see that he is an answer to the forgetful. You see, when we get in them trials and tribulations, and we always talk about being on that mountaintop and being in the valley. When we're in that valley, we're easy to call out on him. But once we get on that mountaintop, it's like we forget him again. What says that if we call out to him up there on that mountain like we do in the valley, that we won't ever go back to the valley again? Why do we have to sit there and suffer and let him pull us back and tell us that we are doing too much things for flesh and what we want to do instead of living for him and him not keeping us on that mountain and instead of putting us back in the valley? You see, sometimes we have to learn to stop and rethink and redo what we're going to do. But we don't. Not only is he an answer to the forgetful, but he is an answer to the forsaken. If you look with me in verse 18 of the text, we did not read that, but it's a little bit farther back. If your Bible is the same as mine, it's just the page over. But in 1 Kings 18, verse number 18, he says, "And he answered, Have I not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." You see, he is the definitive answer to the forsaken. Even though the people had turned away from God and started following that false idol, he still is the answer that they needed. And you see, that it took Elijah to be brave. It took Elijah to be brave and stand up. And it took him to be brave and mock them for their God, for them to understand that, hey, my God ain't even real. It took him sending fire from heaven before they would turn from their wicked ways. You see, not only is he an answer to the forsaken and the forgetful, but he is an answer to the forgiven this evening. You see, he is still our answer. And that's what I had trouble with. You see, I tried to have all kind of answers. All kind of answers that I had in my pocket. And I didn't know it, but he cut my pocket loose. And everything fell out, except for him. I tried substituting everything I could for Jesus Christ, and nothing gave me that same feeling as what he does for me. I tried going back to the world. And I'm going to be the first to tell you, and I'm not going to lie to you. I wouldn't lie to you. I tried to go back to the world because I have family that's still there. And I thought that if I went back and showed them the way out, that they would come with me. But instead, when I went back, they pulled me back. It's not always easy, and it ain't ever going to be easy. But we got a lot of work that we have to do. But not only is he a definitive answer, but my second point, if you don't mind turning with me to Genesis chapter number 19. We're going to see something else this evening. It's going to be a story of Sodom and Gomorrah. If there's anything that we're living like in these days, it's the Sodom and Gomorrah times. Because of what I've experienced, I've seen exactly what I see in the text this afternoon. If you read with me in verses 23, beginning in 23 of Genesis chapter number 19, the Bible says, "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the city, or sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. You see, not only do we see that he's a definitive answer through a fire, but today we see that he can be a destruction through a fire. You see, that fire will destroy you if you let it. And he will destroy you if you don't turn back to him. We've done seen it. Sodom and Gomorrah times. Only one, two that we see mentioned there is still mentioned after he said that he's done breathed fire and brimstone down on each two. We see that he mentioned Lot again, and he mentioned his daughters, but he also mentioned Abraham. You see, them two turned to God when no one else did. That's why when I tell you that when we go out and when I've been back to living for the world, I had to turn back to God. Because there was a part where I felt like he was about to destroy me for everything that I stood for. And everything that I stood for and everything that I'm doing today was about to be in ruins. It was about to go up in smoke. And he told me, he said, son, I've done brought you from there before. I've done brought you from there before. Why don't you come on back? But we see that he could be a destruction. How can he be a destruction? He can be a buffering in your faith. And when I got this straight, Taylor, I knew you'd be here. Because, son, I'm about to say something that you can relate to, I'm sure. A lot of people will think buffer. You might think of BJ's hairstyle. But I'm not talking about that kind of a buffer-like head. Or Shay's, or my daddy's, or mine. Mine's headed that way. I've just got a little bit of hair. But I'm not talking about a buffer in that style. Everybody's got Facebook, or a lot of us do. And whenever we get on there and we have service, for 1 second, we'll have that service. And that little old meter, we'll be trying to watch a video. And we'll try to watch a video, and that thing will automatically go off, and all you see is that little spin wheel sitting there spinning. We'll see that buffering on there. You see, that is something that is going to be used as a tool of destruction. That's what he gave me, but this is what I got. When he gave it to me, this is what he was telling me. Shay Taylor's about to get on you because he knows how you've been on that Century Link, and that he's going to say, man, I can relate. Everybody's called me. But you see, that's how Jesus is. Everybody's been sitting there buffering, buffering, buffering. He don't want you to buffer because when you buffer, nothing gets played. Nothing goes on. It stays in that constant and sometimes nagging position. And man, nothing make me more ill than when everybody comes to daddy's and I'm trying to do something on the internet and the internet won't even pull up what I'm doing. That's one of my pet peeves. That and mailbox numbers. Who would have ever thought that them two random things would make me so mad? But mailbox numbers and internet that don't work is just my biggest pet peeves. But you will have a buffering in your faith. No progress will be made, only a constant, lukewarm mentality. You'll sit there and do just enough to say that you're a Christian, but you'll still live for the world. And I've always done math, and if you do 1 + 1, it equals 2. And there's no other way to get to 2 unless you add something to it, if you're at 1. So whenever you take that, when you have that buffering in your faith, you can sit there and try to add and try to add and try to add, but until you actually add, you're not getting anything. So what I'm trying to tell you, because that was the stupidest analogy I could have just used, what I'm trying to tell you is that when you're sitting there buffering, until you make a move, you will always buffer. You will never move, and Christ can't move on you unless you move on him. That's what I'm trying to get at this afternoon. But not only is there going to be a buffering in your faith, but there's going to be a burdening to your faith through that destruction. when you see God destroy, when Lot seen God destroy everything that he had ever lived for, everything that he had ever lived for at Sodom and Gomorrah, when he seen his wife get turned to a pillar of salt, do you not think he got burdened? Don't you think that he didn't get burdened? Because I'm sure he toted one. But I know somebody that can tote every burden you got, and you will still be okay. And he can tote them all. There's a song that I listen to all the time, and me and JD and Riley Cagle, all of us have always joked about singing it, but we can't find no form of it other than that bluegrass, and some we can't compete with a banjo. There's no way. But it's called The Burden Bearer by Doyle Lawson. And he said, just cast all your burdens on him, because he can handle your heavy load. You see, you cast all them burdens on him, and you will be okay. You will never have to deal with it again. But not only is he, not only will there be a buffering in your faith, a burdening to your faith, but there will be a burn that is left on your faith. You see, Satan will try to take everything that you have, especially when you go through that burn. When you go through that burn, he'll be sitting there and he'll be saying, I told you Jesus couldn't handle it. I told you Jesus would have put you through it. Why don't you just live for the world and live for me and let me keep you out from being burnt? When in all reality, all he is burnt, and all you'll ever be is burnt. And once you're burnt, you ain't going to be nothing but burnt. So in all reality, why would you listen to Satan? I did. I listened to him, and I let him try to tell me that what I was doing was okay, because I had to go through that to get to my family. No, you should don't listen to that. That's just bad rhetoric and bad information. Stay away from Satan, because Satan is nothing here to do nothing but steal, kill, and destroy. But you see, not only when he tries to take that, not only will he try to take your joy when you go through destruction, but you see, he wants to keep burning you. He wants to keep burning you. He wants you to keep feeling that burn. He wants you to always look back and say, Jesus put me through that. Once you get through the fire and you have a little bit of burn on you, you know how it is. You touch a hot eye, your finger will blister up. And you always remember that. It leaves a scar tissue. He wants you to always go back and look at that scar tissue and say, son, looky here. You've done been burned again. Let's just go ahead and burn that whole finger instead of just that one spot. He's very tempting, very tempting. But the thing is that his temptations are nothing to God's promises. And there's no reason to ever trust a snake. I've always been told that. But I've also been told that a burn will heal. My mama used to tell me, she'll say, put some butter on that thing and that swelling won't swell that bad. I never believed it till I done it. You know, it'd still hurt, but it wouldn't take that burn out of it like that butter would. Or if you got stung by a bee, put you some chewing tobacco on it or something like that, you know. Just old remedies. And it's just like everything else, you know. Satan's going to tell you that you're not good enough when you're nothing but good, because you've been made good, because the one that was good went and died for you. So going on to my third and final point, not only do we see a definitive answer, and not only do we see a destruction unlike any other, but this evening we see that through the fire, we find a divine deliverance. You see, we will find a divine deliverance. If you'll turn with me to Daniel chapter number 3, and we're going to read just a couple of verses. There's a reason why I'm going back to Daniel 3. There's a reason why God put me back to Daniel 3, and I believe it. As I've been going and backsliding, as I've backslid, I didn't trust God when he said, look where I've brought you from. Look where I've brought you from. I wanted to keep my head turned with my finger in my ear when he was talking to me from here. And I said, I don't want to hear that. I've been there. I know. It took him sitting me down and me starving and not knowing it in that gas truck when that song come on, before I realized that I needed to check up and look where he brought me from. You see, Daniel chapter number 3 is kind of unique to me. Daniel chapter number 3 is the first sermon I ever shared, one of the first sermons I ever shared at Union Chapel. You see, the first one, or Daniel 3, the first time I read just about every verse in Daniel. But this afternoon, I just want to look at two or three verses, and it's verses 15 through 17. And the Bible says, "Now if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." You see, we see a divine deliverance because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith. We see a divine deliverance because someone that couldn't ever take, King Nebuchadnezzar could never take them out of that seven times hotter, may I add, fiery furnace, okay? That, he even says in his text that when he went to put the boys in, the guys that put them in fell dead on the spot. It was so hot. The Bible says that they fell dead. You see, nobody could take them and put them in there and not bring them out with nothing wrong with them. There's no one here that could do that. And you see, that's what I had to get to realize, is that my God is a divine deliverance, and he can be a divine deliverance for you this afternoon. You see, he is a divine deliverance, but how do we see that? Because we see an act of worship. In verse 15, we see that the Bible says, "Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image I have made. But if you worship not," just because they did not fall right then when King Nebuchadnezzar said that if you don't fall and worship when that music starts playing at my idol, you ain't worshiping. Don't you think that they wasn't worshiping the true king that at that point in time? Because it tells me that in this text right here that they get thrown in that seven times hotter fiery furnace. And they've done told the king here that our God is going to deliver us. So at some point in between that right there, they had to be worshiping the true king. They had to be worshiping God Almighty. You see, they did have a form of worship there. But just because they wasn't singing or preaching, though, that doesn't mean that they wasn't worshiping. Because they knew that they didn't have to serve the king's idol because their God would deliver them through. If we can get a grasp on that when we go through our fires that we walk in every day, when we get our fires that we are dealt every day, and that flame gets turned up seven times harder, if we can realize that we have worship that we can get us through, if we just can worship a little bit longer. You know, when I have them bad days on that gas truck, what I do is I get on there. And I got a little playlist called Redeemed. I don't know why God made me name it Redeemed. I don't know. I named it Redeemed. It's got a lot of Southern gospel on it. And I get on that thing and I hit random. And it ain't long because I'll hear that banjo and some bluegrass. And I'll hear some fiddle. And I'll hear a little bit of all other kind of instruments just like it's talking about here. And I'm reminded then that I have got to worship and I have no time to be mad. You see, if I have a bad time, I use music to get out of it a lot. I use music to get out of it a lot. But not only did we see an act of worship there, but we've seen an elimination of worry. In verse 17 it says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." You see, we see an elimination of worry because they wasn't worried when they had been dining with the king. They had been dining with the king before they even got put into the fire. So their worry had done left. When we go through in fires, when I go through in fires and I start getting mad during the day. Today after church this morning, I guess, we went home and we had to catch four calves because it was past time for them to get a new 911 address besides my house. So I got to the house and we got them things caught, and Riley walked down there, and it was me and Riley and Daddy. And you're talking about something that get your attention and make you mad. Get you a couple of cows and put them in a pen with you. There ain't nothing to make you no more mad than a cow. And they don't know no better, but Riley gets mad at me all the time because I'll just take a pole or something, whatever I got in my hand, and I'll wear whatever's close to me out. And she just gets all over me and says that I'm acting a fool and stuff like that. But she doesn't understand that them cows made me do that. I can't make her think that. But anyways, we see that there's an elimination of worry there. But you see, when I was down there working them cows, I was worried that we didn't have enough help. I was worried that we didn't have enough help. And originally starting out, it was just me and Daddy. And we got about 70 cows down there, I guess, cows, calves, a bull, and so forth, so on, you know. And we get down there, and we have a pen built where you got to have 75 people come down there. It's nothing's going to work right. So we was already down to just two people, keep that in mind. And we had 70 others that was there that don't have no sense. And me and Daddy was trying to get them things in there, and I was worried that we wasn't going to get them. Well, he done got mad. He said, I'm going up here to find out how that bull got out, because he wasn't supposed to be down there. Long story short, he goes up there, and I have to just take some patience out and use them, and I don't like to do that very often either. I have no patience. But I had to take some patience out and use them, and I got my worry went away because I finally caught all them cows. And after we got them in there, I am meddling really bad, if you can't tell. But after we got them cows caught, we put them up in there, and all my worry went away. You see, that's the same thing that I go through every day. It's just something simple like that that Satan will use to make you have a dividing wedge in between you and Jesus Christ. There will be a dividing wedge every day you go through. There will be a fire, and that you will go through that fire every day. But not only do you see that they had an elimination of worry, but in verses 28 through 29, this is really what I want to key on. In verses 28 and 29, we see that they found, because of the divine deliverance, an endless worth. You see, they found an endless worth. Because Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for me, even though I do not deserve it, and I'm so unworthy, He's given me an endless worth. Something that I can't ever comprehend and can't ever grasp. Because it's something that's so important. There's no money. There's nothing I can do that could pay what He paid for me. And you see, He gave me an endless worth. So in verses 28 and 29, we see the Bible say, Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. King Nebuchadnezzar was a king, okay? He was a king way before the fiery furnace. He was a king way before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego even got caught and had even been imprisoned. But you see, a king, when I think of a king, I think of royalty. I think of everything that they can have. Growing up, I've always thought of a king as being one of the most richest people you could find because they have endless worth. But you see, King Nebuchadnezzar, because he's seen four people in that fire, because he didn't see just them three that he put in there, he said, Lo, I see the fourth one, and he looks like the Son of God. You see, he's seen a fourth person. And because of that, that king, that earthly king that had all the riches that he could have here, had just got an endless worth and had now prolonged his worth, because once he dies here, he's going to be even richer over there. So this afternoon, I wanted to dial down and tell you this afternoon that if you don't know what an endless worth is, you've never experienced Jesus Christ. Because once you get a touch of Him, you will not want to let go. Because He's more valuable than anything money can buy. But this afternoon, in my conclusion, we see that because of the definitive answer, the destruction and the divine deliverance, we now realize that them fires that we go through, they ain't that bad. They ain't that bad. They can't burn you but so much. You know why? BJ's told it before. We've got fire insurance that was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have fire insurance. So if you're going through a fire and you don't think you're going to make it out and you think you're about to get burned up, call on your fire insurance and let him take care of you. Because there ain't nobody that can take care of you and hold you and make you and mold you like Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, I come to you.